You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Bob Moriarty of 321 Gold fame. That's 321gold.com, a site that I go to every day because there's always a lot of great content, and content, of course, that's related to what I do and following the gold sector and the gold mining sector. Bob holds all kinds of records and as a pilot. He was most famously known for his flight of a small aircraft under the Eiffel Tower, and you can actually, if you want to look it up on Wikipedia or look it up on the internet, you can find that clip of Bob flying it under his aircraft underneath the Eiffel Tower. I don't know. I think he'd probably be put in jail these days if he tried that. But nonetheless, a few decades back, he successfully did that. You can also find out more about him by going to Wikipedia. There's a Wikipedia background on Bob, and you can learn a lot about him. He is the author of many books, but his latest one that, of course, we've talked about before in the show is What Became of the Crow, Inside the Greatest Gold Discovery in History. Of course, Bob is talking about the massive conglomerate-hosted gold discovery of Western Australia, which may indeed be larger than the Witwatersrand discovery in South Africa. Time will tell if that's the case or not. But something like 30% or 40% of all the gold that's ever been mined has come out of the Witwatersrand, and Dr. Quentin Henning had a theory which took him to Western Australia, and it seems to be panning out very much different, of course, than South Africa, but nonetheless, Dr. Henning seems to be on to something that's very, very significant, and Bob was probably the person almost closest to Quentin Henning through the whole exploration effort, and so he has a lot to say about that. That's why Bob, I think it's very, very colorful. The book is very interesting. It's a fascinating read. Even if you're not a gold bug, it's a lot of fun to read it. The human nature that comes through in the whole story is just really fascinating. So, Bob, thanks so much for spending time with us again today. Thanks for joining me.
Jay, you never told them how to buy it.
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's, I saw there's a special offer on your website at 321 Gold. It's a discount, I think, a 15% discount for the color version, which is what I have. There's a couple of different versions of the book, but the book that I have, the copy that I have, has colored pictures all throughout, and it's just a lovely book. I can't say enough good about it, but yeah, they go to 321 Gold, where can they go? The Amazon, they can go where?
No, here's what they should do. They should go to 321 Gold. The article is right at the top. Between now through the 18th of June, Lulu is giving a 15% discount on all three books. So you can get the Kindle version through Lulu, or you can get the black and white paperback version through Lulu, or you can get the color hardback. And I'll be candid. I mean, I'm really proud of the hardback. It's a beautiful book.
It is.
Whether you want a Kindle version or whether you want an inexpensive paperback, 15% is still 15%.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's a great book, no doubt. Of course, I've lived through this not as intimately as you have with the discovery of this massive conglomerate gold belt. You were over there a number of times with Dr. Henning, and so you know the story as well as anybody else alive. But before we get on to the things I want to talk about today, I just want to ask you, what are your thoughts about Noble? They did come out with the latest monthly gold production. It does seem to me that things are starting to get the bugs worked out of their startup operations, the gold mine there at Beaton's Creek. How do you see it?
Well, here's the deal, and I'm glad you said that because that's absolutely correct. Novo actually has four totally different revenue flows potential. Mm-hmm. The obvious is Beaton's Creek, and they're producing gold there now, and they own the mill, and the production is increasing every month, and they are working the bugs out, and I think that's going to be a home run. They've got Kararta, and they're going to be shipping ore from Kararta to Beaton's Creek to run it through the sorting machine, the ore sorting machine, and that's going to prove the viability of Kararta. That'll give us a situation where we can actually come up with some numbers. The jewelry box, and my favorite, is Egina, and that's where they've got conglomerate gold in gravel near surface, very inexpensive to process. They're held up there because two of the native groups have to come together and have to agree, and they haven't been able to do that yet because of COVID. It's not anything that Novo can do anything about. It's totally out of their control. But one of the things that investors are missing, I bought the Gray stock when it was a nickel a share. It's like a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I held on to it for a long time. De Grey went to a $1.8 billion company, and I think the high end stock was $1.60. Novo has similar ground to De Grey. It's hard rock. Obviously, they'll have to drill, but it's been totally ignored by the market. And they've got about $200 million worth of shares in newfound gold. So anybody who's down on Novo simply does not understand the story. And someday I'll write a second book, and it's going to be just as interesting as the first book.
Oh, I look forward to it, absolutely. And, yeah, it's certainly – I'm very encouraged by what I'm seeing at Beaton's Creek, and I'm very much aware. I wonder, Bob, do you think if – so they'll ship the – they'll ship the material down to Beaton's Creek and run it through a sorting machine at Beaton's Creek to test it, I guess. But then ultimately, when they have the separation technology up at Kararta and then ship a concentrate down to the mill?
Yes, that's absolutely what they'll do. But given the fact that the biggest source of taxes in Australia is mining, it's shocking how difficult it is to do things. It would take quite a period of time to get Kararta permitted. So believe it or not, it's cheaper for them to shove the rock in a truck and take it down to Beaton's Creek, crush it, and run it through the sorter. All that's going to do is prove the viability of the sorter. They'll get some idea of grade. They'll get some idea of the cost of sorting. And obviously, when they're not using the sorting machine for the Kararta ore, they can also use it to process low-grade Beaton's Creek ore. So this is a story that's been a long time moving forward.
Yeah.
But there's some really good things about it, and anybody that's buying shares now is getting at one of the lowest prices it's been in 3 years. I think Novo is a great story. I've always loved the story. I love participating, being on the inside, and I think it's a giant success, and someday investors can actually realize that.
They're going to realize it. I think it may not take all that long. But let's get to the topics that we wanted to talk about today at COVID-19 and related issues. You sent me a note suggesting that medical doctors have known how to prevent severe cases of COVID-19, yet the treatments for early stages of the disease, they were all played down by the media and the elite in favor of developing a vaccine at warp speed. Can you share for us some of the common knowledge that practitioners, medical practitioners, doctors were very well aware of? And some of them we did hear talking about it early on. You know, there were different treatments that were available that if applied early on, at least, would reduce the severity of the disease and keep people out of the hospitals. But didn't seem to be too much interest in that. From at least from the people that are calling the shots. There were doctors that were practicing things and successfully doing so, and there were papers that were written by a host of medical scientists, but were paid attention to by the mainstream, the ruling elite. But can you share for us some of the practices that physicians were successfully using that were largely ignored by the mainstream?
Let me give the quick and dirty elevator pitch. Mm-hmm. In March of 2020, we didn't know very much about COVID, and everybody was guessing what the problem was, what the solution was. Fauci took it upon himself to be the spokesman. He wanted to be St. Fauci. He wanted to have all the answers. And the problem with Fauci is he's the highest paid federal government official in the country. He is a bureaucrat. He does not treat patients. He has never seen a COVID patient. And there was a doctor in France who said, oh, by the way, if you use HCQ, which is a synthetic quinine, that actually will cure COVID. Mm-hmm. And Fauci immediately came out and said, well, no, you need 15 months to run a valid test on that. And we're not even going to suggest or allow people to do that. And mm-hmm. in fact, anyone who even mentioned the word HCQ was immediately censored by social media. And when Trump came out and said, well, HCQ could be a solution, he was attacked. Well, when Trump came out and said we could have a vaccine by the end of the year, he was attacked again. But what happened on November 6th? And well, gee, big shock. We got a vaccine, but it's not a vaccine. Okay, it's gene therapy. A vaccine has some dead particles in it from whatever it is you're trying to cure, whether it's smallpox, polio, or COVID. There is no dead things in what is called a vaccine. To be correct, it is not a vaccine. It is gene therapy. Well, here's what we've learned since then. The NIH and Fauci were lying all along about the Wuhan lab having a program to increase the gain of function. Now, what that means is you take a disease and you make it more of a bioterror weapon. And years ago, Congress in the United States, we're not going to allow you to do that in the United States. So Fauci and the DOD took $69 million and paid it to the Wuhan lab. And guess what? It escaped. So Fauci wants to blame the lab, okay? But the funny thing is Fauci was the guy who paid for it. Let's go to the PCR test. And this is what Fauci has said all along is the gold standard of testing. The PCR test takes some DNA and it multiplies it. And mm-hmm. even according to Fauci, if you multiply the DNA 27 times, once you go above that, it's not valid because it's too small to mm-hmm. see. But the CDC recommends 40 cycles. Now, do you actually understand what the cycle is, Jay? Because it's a little confusing.
I'm not sure that I do.
Okay, I'm going to explain it to you in simple terms. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 4 is 8. 2 times 8 is 16. Okay, so mm-hmm. 2 to the 3rd power mm-hmm. is 16. Mm-hmm. Cycles are nothing but a doubling. Okay, mm-hmm. so if you go 2 to the 27th power, that yeah. is what's referred to as a big damn number.
Sure it is, yeah.
2 to the 40th power, that's like a really friggin' out-of-sight number. But the tests are not valid, and the tests are generating 40 to 90% false positive, okay? Mm-hmm. So we got all these people running around who think they have COVID, and it's called asymptomatic, which means you don't show any symptoms. Well, the reason you don't show any symptoms is you don't have COVID. You don't have anything. And what the government has done, if you check into a hospital with a heart attack, okay, you pay for it. If you check into a hospital with a heart attack and you test positive for COVID in a test that's invalid, The government pays for it. So guess what the hospitals do? Oh, geez, everybody's got COVID. So if you have gunshots and you test positive, it's COVID. If you're in an automobile accident, you die and you test positive, it's COVID. If you drink yourself to death and test positive, it's COVID. So the numbers are totally meaningless, okay? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there are tens of thousands of doctors all over the world who are treating real patients, mm-hmm. and they want a solution. Mm-hmm. They tried HCQ, and it worked, but they're not allowed to talk about it, okay? The social media, which really is a government agency of sorts, okay? Social media silences itself.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, well, gee, ivermectin, which everybody that raises sheep or cattle or horses, everybody uses ivermectin. It's an anti-parasite. It also would cure COVID. And you're not allowed to talk about that, okay? If you mention it, social media will silence you. So the doctors who are actually treating patients are being silenced, and the doctors who have never treated patients are the guys that we're listening to. Yeah. Now, I wrote an article last August 20th, it seems to me, and I said that Fauci and Bill Gates belong in jail. And if any of my readers would like to go back and read the article, we've still got it in the archives. And I'm going to say I was absolutely correct. Fauci has been lying all along. We know how to prevent it. The people who come down with COVID who die have a vitamin D deficiency, and they're obese, and they're old. Now, we can't do anything about people being old. We can't do very much about people being obese, but we can damn sure do something about doing vitamin D. And even Fauci has said, well, gee, vitamin D would not be a bad idea. But do you hear anybody in the government saying, people, if you want to keep from getting COVID, take vitamin D? No, nobody wants to say that. There are tens of billions of dollars that have been paid to drug companies to generate this gene therapy. And I'll be absolutely candid, and I've never changed my point of view from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It is the most dangerous thing in medical history. Mm-hmm. They're now finding out that the spike protein, which right. was supposed to stick around the injection site, actually goes to every organ in the body. And some airlines are saying if you've had two shots, you need to be very careful about traveling because you can come down with thrombosis because it causes blood clotting.
Sure.
So there are serious problems with the so-called vaccines, and every single day it looks worse.
So, Bob, you're saying that the airlines, which are, you know, I thought you needed to have the vaccinations in order to, for them to feel comfortable about you getting on the airplane. Now they're saying they're actually recognizing and realizing because of the altitude, I guess there could be more danger for people that have had two shots. Is that what you're saying? And the airlines have actually acknowledged that?
Yes, indeed they have. The number of problems with the gene therapy increase every single day. And they're realizing that, quite bluntly, I don't think it does anything, first of all. And it's very deadly, and it's killed tens of thousands of people. And why the hell are people getting vaccinated? Now, this latest thing over the weekend with the G7, if all of those people who are at the G7 have been vaccinated, we know they have, and they've got the top medical care in the entire world, why are they going through the theater wearing masks and bumping elbows? Give me a break.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
It's theater. It's fraud. Okay. And it's the biggest fraud in world history.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you brought to my attention Dr. Biddle, I think his name is, a professor of viral immunology at the University of Guelph in Ontario. And there is a video there in which he explained this whole issue about the vaccine, the spike proteins not staying at the injection site, but actually being transmitted through the blood to the various organs. And this is something that apparently a peer group of scientists from Japan, he referred to that work that's done in Japan, relates to clotting and other problems that problems more to do with the circulatory system. But I have to ask you, do you think this is just motivated by sheer profits and greed or politics, or what do you think's going on here, Bob?
It's interesting you say that, because actually I don't think we have enough data, but there is an interesting video in Russian by a Russian general from March of 2020, and he said it's bioterrorism. Now, I don't know that that's true, but quite bluntly, and I was in the military for 6 years and in combat for 2 years, if I wanted to come up with a bioterrorism program, it would look just like COVID.
Yeah, and people can be so easily duped. And, I mean, everybody is being basically, I mean, what we're, the talk that we're, you know, what I'm hearing you say now, you know, it's considered to be lunacy by the media, the propaganda and so forth. So what bothers me more than anything, Bob, is that we're not allowed to hear dissenting views. Credible scientists, I'm not talking about people like me that know nothing about medical science, but credible scientists are not allowed to speak.
One of the things that happens when you turn to totalitarianism is that you silence all of the dissenting voices. Mm-hmm. If you go to CNN today, it talks about emails demonstrate that Trump was trying to get the DOJ to look into voter fraud in the election. Yep. Well, he was the president of the United States. He believed there was voter fraud. The DOJ worked for him. Why the hell wouldn't he ask him to look into
it? Sure. Why shouldn't he?
And I'll go slightly off topic for just a minute. Arizona is doing an audit of the complete election.
Yeah, they don't talk about it.
And they've done a really good job, because there's no speculation whatsoever. They're not whisper campaign or anything. They're doing their job, and at some point they're going to report it. But the Democrats are having an absolute fit. Okay, they do not want anybody counting those ballots. Now, when I was in Vietnam, well, we wanted to know where the North Vietnamese were. We would go fly low over them. And when we went over a good target, they would shoot at us. We could actually hear them, okay? So we knew that was a good target. The Democrats may not be guilty, but they're sure acting guilty.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't they want an option? Why don't they want it to be audited? Is the question. I mean, if it's, they can have their own people there to oversee it, right? I presume it's not just a bunch of Republicans, I would hope. I don't know.
Absolutely. Now, it's an independent company that's doing the audit. Now, I'll be real candid. The idea that social media companies should have the right to silence the president of the United States, I think it's absurd. I don't like Trump, okay?
No, I know you don't.
In fact,
you never did.
Facebook said, we're not going to post you, or Twitter. Who the hell do they think they are?
Well, you know, the Democrats are quick now to say, well, that's capitalism, and you have the right, it's your property, you have the right to do what you're doing, and you can silence and let people say what they want or not. That's their right as a private company and a private concern. So I guess selectively they honor that idea. But anyway.
Jay, that's total bullshit, okay? Because the real danger is there. They can't be sued.
That's right.
And what we need to do is we need to remove that right. And if they want to censor somebody, that's fine. They are companies. But then we should be able to sue them and put them out of business.
Right, right. Because other media are subject to those lawsuits. The regular, the television people, newspapers and so forth. It's just the social media that has that protection, I guess, isn't it? So it really allows them to be, and they don't have any competition from the other side. So it's just basically they've silenced those that would compete with them. So,
well, yeah, they are public utilities, and they should come under control of government just like every other public utility does. And the idea that they should censor anyone, who are they? What's some 25-year-old kid going to decide?
I agree. It certainly is the end of our republic if it continues on, no doubt about it. Bob, we're going to have to go. That's just about all the time we have. I want to thank you very much. 30 seconds for a closing thought, perhaps.
We are going to have a massive crash soon.
You're talking about a market crash.
Yeah. When people pay $4 million for an NFT of the original picture of Dog, who was on DoggyCoin, you have reached peak insanity. I look for a massive crash into October.
All right. No, not okay. It is what it is. We'll have to leave it go at that, though, Bob. We're out of time. We know what people should own other than paper money, so we talk about that all the time. Thanks so much, Bob, for being with us. We'll look to do it again sometime in the near future, hopefully. Folks, that is it for this week. Next week, we're going to have fund manager and adjunct professor Peter Treadway with us, Michael Oliver, and Corwin Coe of Sitka Gold as well. Until then, goodbye, and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
NV Gold Corporation, trading under NVX on the TSX and NVGLF on the OTCQB, is a gold exploration company focused on uncovering the next multi-million ounce gold deposit in Nevada with an aggressive exploration season ahead in 2021, a tight share structure, strong management ownership, key strategic investors, a globally recognized technical team, report coverage from industry gold experts, and a strong treasury. Visit NVGoldCorp.com to learn more on this exciting story.